I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and I shall begin reading at verse 18 of this outstanding chapter in Luke's Gospel. May I say again that it is a joy to have you in the services today, whether you are a member or a visitor. And I hope that you'll be in prayer just now for the reading of the Scriptures and for the preaching of the Word of God, especially for those who might be with us today without Christ. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18, after we bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee again for these wonderful moments of opportunity, a time when we can proclaim the unsearchable riches of Thy marvelous grace. Grant unto us the power and the anointing and the unction of Thy Holy Spirit, lest we speak in vain, lest we become as a tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. May the Holy Spirit speak through us to the hearts and lives of those who are here today. Most especially, Heavenly Father, we would pray for those who know not Jesus Christ, that they might come to know Him in this hour. In His name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Everything is all right." No, he didn't say that. Jesus, when he heard these things, said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Now, if you're looking this morning for a fascinating story, you need look no further. I see in the text that I have read you a man who has a whole list of fine qualities. He was virtuous. He was both honorable and honest. He was obedient. And from his youth up, he had lived a very strict religious life. Reminds me kind of the story of Nicodemus, a man who was a ruler of the Jews, who had religion, but didn't have Jesus. A man who had gone through all of the religious rite and the religious ceremony of the Jews, but who didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart. Now in verse 22, Jesus listened to all that he had to say. All of the list of his virtues, Jesus listened attentively. But then Jesus dropped a divine bombshell right in the midst of all of it. When he said to this virtuous, honest, honorable, truthful man, "Yet lackest thou one thing." And so it is in this day and in this hour. We have never lived in an hour when there were more churches. We have never lived in an hour in the history of our nation when there were more church members. We've got more church members today than in any period in our history. But a lot of people have been deluded, misinformed, misguided, because a lot of people today that are crowding the church rolls of America have been led to think that if they memorize the catechisms, or if they were baptized in the baptismal waters, or if they signed a card of covenant, or shook a preacher's hand, or turned over a new leaf, or began a new life, that they were saved. But Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is one thing to be a church member. It's something else to be saved. Jesus said, one thing lackest thou yet. And my friend, this morning, that one thing that you may lack is the thing that you're going to need in life. And you're going to need it in death. When I'm called on to conduct the services of a person whose life has been questionable as far as his relationship to God, I tremble with fear. And I know that you're not going to misunderstand this statement. It might sound for a moment like it's cruel, but to me, it's a great joy to conduct the services of the people who have anchored their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know I'm talking about someone who has long since planted his or her faith in Jesus, and the battle is forever through for them. Not long ago, and I'm sure that Mrs. Utley will pardon my personal reference, but not long ago, I went out to the cemetery. I went out to the funeral home and I conducted the services of a dear husband. And he was not a member of our church, but for 4 or 5 years, they never missed on anniversary Sunday. And when he passed away, she called on me, and I said, but dear lady, I'm not his pastor, but she said, but Brother Barber, he loved you so much, and he loved your preaching, and I want you to have the services. And so I could go and stand at that place and say, here is a man who had his faith in Christ. He was more than a church member. He was a Christian. Jesus said to this man, yet lackest thou one thing. And what did this man lack? Just following Jesus. And what do you suppose was the initial reason why? Well, Jesus makes it very clear that there was something standing between this man and his right relationship to God. In this man's case, it was riches. If you are yet not right with God, if you have not yet been saved, let me ask you a simple question. What keeps you from Christ? You know what it is today. Yet lackest thou one thing. You see, there are but two kinds of people in the world today, the saved and the lost. Again, Jesus makes that clear in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, there are two ways. One of them is broad, one of them is alluring, one of them is attractive, and it leads to destruction. The other way, Jesus said, is narrow, is straight, and it leads to life eternal. Now, every person in this house today, and every person living today, is on one road or the other. Just where you are right now, you're on the road to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're on the road to hell without Him. Unsaved, yet lackest thou one thing. Every unsaved man in the world, or every unsaved woman or boy or girl, is just one step away from salvation. My subject this morning is one step to a victorious life. Jesus again said, Yet lackest thou one thing. Now this man in the text was a sincere seeker. I think this is seen clearly in the fact that he came to Jesus. You are here this morning as a sincere seeker, and that is given by the fact that you're in church today. You could be somewhere else easily, but you're in the house of God. And that suggests to me that you are sincerely seeking. Are you like the rich man? What is your celebration? What are you boasting about? Your answer may come back and you may say, but preacher, I have kept the law. I have never killed anyone. I have not committed adultery. I have not stolen. I have not lied. I have not cheated. I have been honest. These are good, my friend, but let me remind you that all of these things will not save you, and one thing lackest thou yet. You must be born again. Just one thing. Have you not heard and have you not read in the scriptures and have you not seen that you are in a desperate condition today without Christ? I don't have the words to describe your condition outside the Lord Jesus Christ, but I might use a few. Without Him, you're hopeless. Without Him, you're helpless. Without Him, you're doomed. Without Him, you're damned. Without Him, you're lost. And the English language does not contain this morning words that would be adequate to describe the condition of a man outside the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible has your picture, and this picture has been taken by the divine photographer. And the Word of God says that you by nature are a sinner. The psalmist put it this way: Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Isaiah the prophet puts it this way: All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Paul puts it this way: All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your picture is in the Word of God: unsaved, unregenerate, unredeemed, lost. Your good works and all your moral character and all of your honest reputation is not sufficient. Listen to these words. Again, the prophet Isaiah says, we are all as an unclean thing. We do all fade as a leaf. We are all driven away with the wind, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Now, what's more detestable or despicable than a pile of filthy rags? Nothing. God said, after you have been as righteous as you can be, and as good as you can be, and as moral as you can be, and as honest as you can be, and as truthful as you can be, your righteousness is like that pile of filthy rags in His sight. Paul puts it this way: Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Now let's get the picture. By nature a sinner. By nature a rebel, an alien against God. And with all of your good works, still lost. Maybe you've joined the church. But if you've joined the church without joining Jesus, you're still lost. Maybe you've memorized all the catechisms and you've gone all through all the procedure, but if you haven't trusted Christ, you are just as lost as the darkest Hottentot trot in Africa. Lost without Christ. Oh, you say, but Pastor, maybe you don't understand. I too, like the rich man, have kept the law. I'll let Paul answer it for you. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world might become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Keeping the law will not justify you in God's sight. Keeping the law will not save you. Keeping the law will not bring you to the right relationship with Christ. Oh, but you say, Pastor, I haven't broken the law but in one place. Is that right? Well, let James answer this for you. Whosoever keepeth the whole law and yet offendeth in one point is guilty of all. You know, some people pride themselves on being such a good person. James says if you broke it in one place, you're guilty of all. So the law and keeping the law and abiding by the law will not save you. Outside Christ, you are yet destined to destruction. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And Ezekiel chapter 3 says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Your picture has been made in the Scripture. You cannot save yourself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You had just soon tried to reach down and pick yourself up by your shoestrings as to save yourself. You are that utterly hopeless to redeem your soul, to save yourself, outside the Lord Jesus Christ and His redeeming work upon the cross. But wait a moment. You can have another picture made. The divine photographer is ready to make your picture. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. No, your righteousness is not sufficient, but the righteousness of Christ is sufficient. It is true that you cannot save yourself, but it is true that Jesus can save you. It is true that you are lost without Him, but you can be saved. And you know, my friends, it's just as simple as 1, 2, 3. One, confess your sins. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Number two, believe that Jesus died for you. And thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And the third step is simply to call upon His name and believe that God hath raised Him from the dead, for and thou shalt be saved. And verse 13 of Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say who's baptized shall be saved. Doesn't say who partakes of the communion is saved. Doesn't say who joins the church is saved. But it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I say it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. 1, confess your sins. 2, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. 3, call in mercy and in faith upon Him. And He'll do the saving. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved is God's word, not my word. Not the word of the Baptist church, but the word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Everybody here has paid a bill sometime or another. Now I know you still got some that ought to be paid, like all of us. But everybody here sometime or another has gone to the store and over to the counter and paid a bill. And when you paid that bill, the clerk took out a little stamp and stamped right across it. P-A-I-D. Paid. And that store and no store or company in the world can collect that bill again because you've got the receipt that says paid. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ stepped up to Calvary's cross and He stamped paid across the debt of your sin. And the devil cannot collect it, for Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Can I make it any more simple than to tell you that Jesus has paid for your sins? Dr. David Barnhouse, the late Dr. Barnhouse, tells the story of a judge in a town, a man that he knew, whose son was arrested and hailed into court and brought before his own daddy. And his daddy, as a judge on the bench, fined the young man to the nth degree that the books of the law would let him for his crime against society. And after the judge had issued forth his statement, he took off his robe. He left his bench. He went down to the clerk and said, "I am paying the fine for my son." Oh, my friend, I know a story that's so much better than that this morning. And I never grow weary of telling about it. I only would I knew how to tell about it this morning when I stood before the judge of the universe and God's law said, "Thou shalt surely die." Jesus stepped up to the bench and he paid the price for me. And this morning I'm as saved as I ever shall be because I said, "Jesus, if you're willing to pay, I'm willing to receive." He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yet lackest thou one thing. If you're here today without Christ, you are one step from victory. You are one step from salvation. You are one step from the implantation of the divine nature of God. Doesn't matter whatever else you have or don't have or whatever else you can boast of, yet lackest thou one thing. And this word to the Christians this morning. Many Christians today are lacking one thing from being a victorious Christian. Just one step away. What is lacking, may I ask you, in your life this morning? Is it the lack of a sense of responsibility to Christ and the church? Do you lack this morning a vision for lost souls? Do you lack an absolute surrender of your life to Christ? Do you lack a separation from the world? Do you lack courage to take a stand for Jesus? Jesus said, "He that denieth me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. But he that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." I say again that many a saved person, many a member of Worth Baptist Church, lacks one thing of being the happy, victorious, overcoming Christian that they could be. And I wonder if this morning, if it would be that I am speaking to some who lack scriptural baptism. You've never been baptized into the fellowship of the church. I wonder if there are those who are lacking uniting with the church by letter or by statement. I would say to you what Jesus said to this man, "Yet lackest thou one thing." If you are lost, you need Jesus. If you have not been baptized, you need to be baptized. If you have not yet united with the church, you need to come today and unite with the church that is teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you one more question. Just one more. When you come down to the end of the way and it's all over, and somebody has to stand before your expired form, how will it be then? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy blessed and eternal word. Though we are weak and frail, though we have failed so miserably in trying to proclaim it this morning, I pray the Holy Spirit would in this second, in this instant, in this moment, preach this message to these hearts who are yet without Christ. For those who yet lack one thing, the stepping over into the kingdom of God by simple faith in Jesus Christ, may they come today to trust him. Those who lack the one thing of baptism to be in fellowship with thy people, may they come this morning. Those who lack the one thing of uniting with the church by letter or on their statement of having been scripturally baptized, may they come this morning. Whatever that one step is, may each of us take it today, the step of absolute surrender, the step of a greater vision and burden of our responsibility toward thee and toward the church, the step of separation from the things of the world. Help us to take that step right now in Jesus' name we pray.